More than 20 years ago, Kaif Fassett exchanged his paints and brushes for a pair of knitting needles. Using the simplest of knitting techniques, he has designed clothing that combines a spectacular array of colors. It's not uncommon for him to use 50 or 60 colors in one garment. Fassett turned to knitting after he moved to London in the 60s. He grew up in Big Sur, California, and was trained as a painter. Now he thinks of knitting as painting with yarn. He wrote his first knitting book of original designs and patterns in 1985. His newest book, his fourth, is called Family Album. A few years after moving to England, Fassett visited a knitting mill in Scotland. At the back of the mill, he came upon barrels and barrels of colored yarn. This discovery led to the creation of his first sweater.
What was fascinating was to take lumps of yarn and begin to arrange them until they began to have a spark. And you were already halfway to something exciting by just arranging colors. What I do is technically very, very easy. It's just that I use a lot of colors.
Was it something even about the tactile nature of yarn that drew you to it? I mean, when you see a big barrel full of colors like that, you do want to put your hands in at least
Absolutely.
Up to the elbow.
Absolutely. It's pure sensuality. I mean, you know, that's what I was saying to this audience the other day when I was talking, you know. I mean, you look at paints and they're paints, you know. I mean, they're not something you want to rub your hands in. But, I mean, you see a ball of mohair or silk or wool sitting on a shelf and it says, come and get me, stroke me. You know, I mean, it's so exciting. And when you're actually knitting with them, they're flowing through your fingers, you know, and they're lumping themselves on top of each other in these little chains of, I mean, it's the most miraculous thing, knitting. I can't understand. Still to this day, I've been doing it for 22 years, and I can't understand who came up with the concept of it, because the idea of these loops intertwine that can make this, they can make the whole world of pattern and color with these simple little loops. It's just so exciting.
You went to London in the 60s, in 1964,
yes.
And you've lived
right.
there ever since.
Yeah.
Did you find it an environment that you could work in as well? I mean, that it was a creative environment for the kind of work that you
were doing. Yeah, I liked the limitations, and I liked the sense of humor. And, you know, life is hard there. You know, we don't have the creature comforts in Europe. And I liked that. I liked knowing exactly where I was, and life was affordable. I mean, it wasn't luxurious by any means. And I suppose I could take a chance. I could go out and buy very inexpensive yarn and knit mad things. I did thousands of experiments. And maybe if the material hadn't been so cheap, and also if anyone had taken me seriously, because the other thing is that the English didn't take me at all seriously. They just thought I was a total madman from this weird foreign country, you know, so that I was able to just get on with my thing, and I didn't need to make much money to survive, and I didn't.
And they left you alone.
And they left me alone. And then when the product was really developed, when I really got to a point where I knew what I was saying, then they took me seriously. And when the first book came out, you know, Glorious Knitting, it was called there, and Glorious Knits here, suddenly they said, right, you're our hero. And, you know, 40,000 copies of the book sold out in 2 weeks, which we all just fell down. Because I thought I'd be talking to elite little groups of people that had kind of found out about me by hook and by crook, the few talks I'd given and things, and that would be my audience. And suddenly, it was like this universal thing. Every bookstore sold out, every yarn shop sold out. It was so phenomenal that none of us could understand it. You know, and we printed seven times, I think, you know, in a year or something. I mean, it was just phenomenal.
When they left you alone, was it also lonely, or was it important that you be able to work out some of the stuff without the intrusion of the public or the press or anybody else?
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you, I was so obsessed. I was so turned on. I mean, when I first, the first sweater I knitted, I was so excited. I used to get up in the morning, and before I'd get dressed, I'd be knitting for 3 hours. I would just sit in a chair, stark naked, knitting away. I mean, it's 6 a.m. You know, it was like, this was thrill time. I mean, I'd found something, you know, that was so mysterious, these little loops and these colors growing. I couldn't put it down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then I took that first sweater to Vogue, and they took it seriously enough to print it in their magazine and to say, do us another garment. So people were listening to me in that way that didn't bring in money, but it brought, there was enough attention around that I knew I was onto something. And I didn't care whether it ever made money, really. I was just doing it because
sounds like you couldn't not.
I couldn't not. That's it. I mean, I just simply couldn't put it down. I kept thinking I must be serious now and grown up and go back to my painting and be a painter. But I just put my painting away. And painting never satisfied me again. You mean I went back to my painting for a brief spell and had a very successful show, but the knitting always dragged me back. And when I was able to do a book and make money at it, boy, I just put the paints away totally, you know.
The actual making of your sweaters, you don't require fancy triple cables and all this kind of stuff. It's basically the stockinette.
That's right, stockinette. Stitch. I've kept mine totally simple. In the family album, there's a lot of things that are quite simple and straightforward. There's a lot of two-color row knitting. There's a lot that's lots and lots of color.
Yeah.
And then there's some that are cables and fancy stitches, too, for those people that like that.
Did you ever toy with a knitting machine? And that's so different than, as you say, running the yarn through your hands.
You got it in one. You got it in one. Because, you see, to me, I mean, it's the therapy of having the beautiful contact with these yarns. It's not about, you know, and standing there shoving this bloody machine back and forth. And on the 16th, it all falls off anyway. I mean, oh, my God, it just drives me insane. I nearly killed my instructor. I had one lesson, and I thought, this is not for me, you know.
You like squares. I mean, I think that's apparent in looking through through the book, that there's something about the square that's very attractive
to you. Squares or circles. I love geometrics that one can build on and play on and carry it in your mind. I mean, there's something about a geometric pattern that you can memorize very quickly and then start to play with variations on it. Something that's like flowers or more, three-dimensional kind of shapes and so forth, you have to sort of put those on graph paper and you follow a graph. And then you can't do it in a car or in a plane so easily. You know, you can kind of manage if you have to. But the great thing about a geometric is that you can just begin, you know, you sort of memorize it in the first few rows, and then you can improvise and play and just do variations on shapes and so forth. And the design below tells you what's happening above, and you just can go on. And I love that aspect of being able to just, you know, run out and sit in the field with a little bag full of balls of yarn, or, in you know, if you're lonely, go sit in the town square and watch everything go by and sit and knit, you know.
I do need to ask you a technical question, only because I'm a real novice knitter. I've done a couple of rather bland-looking sweaters in my day. Mm. But how you don't get everything all wrapped up and tangled around each other. I mean, I'm looking at this sweater that you're wearing that probably has 25, 30 colors work.
And it has about 10 to 15 colors a row.
Yes.
Every row.
And how, at the end of the row, you don't have everything in a...
Well, thanks for asking that, because I forget to say it sometimes. There's three things you got to remember, and that is, you work with manageable lengths of yarn when you're working with lots of color across a row, so that you never have balls attached, and you certainly don't waste time making butterfly whatnots, you know, because they would get tangled and you couldn't pull it out of the tangle.
Right.
And a manageable length of yarn is anything from a few inches to, say, a yard or a yard and a half.
So you're always tying on.
Well, not tying on. What you do is when you come sort of within 2 inches of the end of your yarn, you grab another piece, hopefully a slightly different tone or texture, and then you leave a 2-inch tail of that, knit one stitch, and then you knit the two tails in. And so it's all nice and tidy. It's all finished when you're finished. And you knit all your ends in as you move along. Just weave them into the back of the knitting. And it's very, very simple. Once you've learned that, that's the keys to the kingdom, you know?
I was wondering what artists you've been inspired by. And looking through your book, I mean, there's certainly Matisse.
Oh, absolutely, Matisse, number one.
Because they're the patterns.
Yeah, you've been
the
looking.
Textures.
You've been really looking. Yeah, and Bonnard and Emile Nolde. Anybody who's fabulously interested in color. But also much subtler, like old Italian frescoes. When you want to go for a very soft, old, faded palette, which I often do. I'm sitting here in blazing red and swimming pool green and blue and all these things. But, you know, that's because I'm, you know, making my little public appearance on radio here, you know. But I do love very subtle colors, you know, colors that you can wear when you've got a toothache and it doesn't, you don't know what's going to bother you. You know, you can creep by, and yet if people take a really close look, they can see there's a lot of subtlety and a lot of tone there, particularly dark, burnished, bronzy colors. I adore.
When you're just traveling around, is color then what you notice? I mean,
absolutely.
That's, yeah. Perhaps it's what many of us don't notice. But.
Yeah. I mean, like the most unpromising place, like a crowd of people when you're really mad because, you know, this place is so crowded and you can't get to your destination on time. There's bound to be the most amazing combinations of colors passing each other, or just the colors of people's hair, you know, standing in the tube, you know, crowded tubes in London, and looking across over the subway, see here, And just seeing all the shades of people's hair. You know, I mean, I can get off on that and think, what amazing carpet this would make, you know, like sort of dog pelts or something. Or just looking at the shapes of people's noses. I don't know. You know, there is amazing variation in our lives. And certainly every city throws up the most amazing old neglected buildings. I mean, I go for the ones, the slums, you know, where things have been left to nature and old peeling surfaces and so forth are just fabulous, the kind of colors that occur quite accidentally.
Well, thank you, Kay Fassett, for talking with us. I've enjoyed it.
I've enjoyed it, too.
Kay Fassett's newest knitting book is called Family Album. It's published by Clarkson Potter.